Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends. The Grace Hour, that daily broadcast that helps you to understand the nature of your faith and to dive deeper into it and help you learn more about it in a very practical way. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be hosting today's broadcast along with our co-host, Pastor Barry Quirk, who is one of our staff pastors here at the Greater Grace World Outreach and also the Greater Grace Christian Academy principal. We have that Christian Academy. We've had it here for decades now, and we're so grateful that the Greater Grace Christian Academy has that wonderful privilege and opportunity to teach our children and to do so in an atmosphere of faith and love with a high academic standard. So great to have Pastor Barry with us in the studio today. And I think those of you that follow the Grace Hour on a regular basis know that Pastor Barry and myself are teamed up together each and every Wednesday here, for the most part, on the Grace Hour broadcast. So we thank you for listening today. And we are talking about the subject of the anointing. What is that? What does that word mean? It's rather mystical for some people. Some people dismiss it altogether, yet the scriptures have a lot to say about the anointing of God. That's going to be our subject. We'll delve into it in just a couple of moments. We want to remind you also that you can join us during the broadcast. The phone lines will be open during the entire broadcast. And if you would like to weigh in and share your thoughts on our subject today and throughout this week, please don't hesitate. Here are those telephone numbers, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, friends, in all of North America. So wherever you're listening to the Grace Hour throughout the continent, give us a call on that number. If you're listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, then the number for you to dial is 410-483-3700. And we look forward to it. We also want to mention that if you're listening locally, tonight's our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach that begins promptly at 7 p.m. And we'd like to invite you, if you've never been out, to join us for one of our services. Take the opportunity tonight and do so. And again, bring your friends, bring your family, and come out and join us for a wonderful time of fellowship, again, that begins at 7 p.m. And there'll be music, there'll be worship, there'll be a message from the Word of God, and you'll be sure to be encouraged. And we want you to be our guest. That's tonight at 7 p.m. Hope you can make it out. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. And again, you're invited. We hope to see you. Well, the anointing. What a great subject. What a great theme. Now, those of you familiar with our ministry, many of you have heard us use that term over and over again. Pastor Stevens used to use that term over and over again. A lot of churches use that term. They will say things like, you know, the presence of the anointing in our church service tonight is powerful. I have heard people say the anointing on that message really deeply touched my heart. We use that term in those ways and in other different ways as well. But Pastor Barry, what are we talking about when we're talking about the anointing?
Yeah, I think good to be with you, Pastor Love. I think one of the key takeaways from the messages that we've been hearing on the Grace Hour this week, and I think it was defined with Pastor Dennis and Pastor Justin on Monday in a very simple way, and I like the way that they said it, is that the anointing is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit filling us in our lives. And, you know, we could look at that in a couple different ways. I think, you know, maybe people get a little confused with the actual laying on of hands and oil and putting oil on somebody and anointing somebody. Sometimes we do that when we pray for the sick, versus the evidence on the inside of the Holy Spirit, you know, being with us. And you know, how that looks in today's practical life versus what we see in the Old Testament can be, a little bit challenging in a sense. But on the other hand, I think one thing we need to remember is that it's the same Holy Spirit of the Old Testament that we have today with us, you know. So we can get things twisted up when really it's the evidence of God, and how does he manifest himself to Moses and to David and to Joshua and to Samuel, and how does he manifest himself to us today?
Absolutely. And of course, the idea, one of the ideas behind it, it was when someone or something was anointed, it was set apart mm-hmm. unto God. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really is the essential basis of the anointing. Mm. Again, it can be someone or something that is set apart, sacred before God, and perhaps used by God. It's interesting that the original use of the anointing was used by shepherds. Now, that should remind us the shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, when the psalmist said, God, you anoint my head with oil. Now, that speaks of the anointing. Mm. Now, shepherds would anoint the sheep, the head of the sheep. Now, why? Because of filthy lice and insects that would find their way to the head of the sheep. And if they remained there, they could find their way into the nostrils of the sheep and begin to do such damage. My understanding is that the sheep literally would run into rocks and articles on the ground that could potentially kill them. So the shepherd would anoint the sheep with oil so that these insects, this lice, would actually run off. So the anointing was a form of protection, covering. Mm. And we can see the same thing as it appears in the lives of God's servants in both Old Testament and New Testament today.
Mm. Well, that's fascinating. I had not heard that before, but that makes sense. The presence of God in our lives, you know, what is that all about? You know, why does God give us his presence? And, you know, we understand that as New Testament believers, you know, we have been established in Christ and he has anointed us. The Holy Spirit has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. You know, so we have something, a real evidence of the Holy Spirit that's on us, but it's permanent and it's sealed in us. And I like the thought of these two words, nipto and luo, two words to describe the sprinkling or the actual cleansing. And it's in reference, it's related but unrelated, but it's in reference to the ceremonial baths that the Jews would have to undergo as part of the sacrificial system. And, you know, you could picture the person getting themselves bathed and cleaned and having to walk back to their house. Well, as they walk back to their house, they're in sandals. And those roads were not nicely paved like we have today. So, of course, what happens to their feet? You know, they get dirty. And you could say, well, what do you have to do? You have to run back to the bath and cleanse yourself again. Well, you're still going to have to walk home. And until you can find a way to fly home, you're going to have dirty feet. So what was the provision? The provision was there was a pot on the front step that you could sprinkle the feet with. You didn't have to be cleansed all over again. You know, we have been sealed with the Spirit. There's a difference between walking in the Spirit daily or having the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives permanently, like happens when we request that Jesus Christ would come into our lives and save us. He does so with a promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Now, does that mean our walk is going to experience that all the time? No, and sometimes in our experience, our feet get a little dirty, but there's a provision for that as well, and it's coming to the Spirit of God, confessing ourselves before the Lord. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So there is a beautiful correlation there between, you know, just having the presence of God on our lives for a moment while we're walking in him, or having the presence of God in our lives permanently, like we have the privilege of today as believers.
Yeah. And every believer, according to 1 John chapter 2, has that anointing. And I think we need to distinguish between believers that have an anointing and the anointed one, which, of course, was the Messiah,
yes.
Christ himself.
Yes.
And it's interesting because when he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and he quoted from Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verses 1 and 2, you know, he said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me." I mean, he was the anointed one of God.
Mm.
He was the one that the Spirit of God came upon. We know that. And I think that there's something to be said in relationship to the baptism of Christ, which is a picture of a ceremonial washing, so to speak. And I want to make it perfectly clear that Christ didn't receive baptism at the hands of John the Baptist for the remission of sins. Neither did he need to repent of any sins. But I think it's safe to say that when Jesus insisted upon being baptized by John, that in essence was the inauguration of his public ministry, which is no surprise because in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, when the priest would enter into the priesthood and begin their public ministry, they did so at the age of 30. And here's Jesus at the age of 30 beginning his public ministry and, again, assuring John the Baptist that it was necessary for him to fulfill all righteousness by, you know, baptizing him. And then just the, you know, that was the anointing, so to speak, the onset of his public ministry, proof and evidence, without a doubt, that he was the long-awaited Messiah. So the anointed one, yes. Now, no individual today, either Old Testament or New Testament, should ever claim that they are the anointed one. But every believer does have the right to say, you know, I am anointed in this sense. I am protected by God. I can be empowered by God. And the blessing of God is upon my life.
Absolutely. You just mentioned 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And it says that we have an unction from the Holy One and that we know all things. Now, obviously, we don't physically know all things, but we know the one who does know all things. And I think that's the picture right there, is that we have, there's nothing that's been reserved from us as far as our adoption into the privilege of being a child of God. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God in Romans 8:14. And we have an unction from the Holy One. We have been anointed by the one who was the anointed one and is the anointed one. And that is a title that's reserved strictly for God. And we have seen in the course of our lives, you know, we think of people like David Koresh, you know, who was the Waco, Texas cult leader, and how that mistreatment of what it means to be the anointed one or one who is anointed could lead us into big trouble. But with that being said, Pastor Love, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the theocracies of the Old Testament, just in the sense of how did the anointing come upon somebody and what would cause the anointing to leave somebody and why that's different today.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of the story of David, the young shepherd boy. And we know that God rejected King Saul, and the anointing was to be taken from him. And that didn't mean that he wasn't saved.
Right.
It just meant that the power that would rest upon him as king in Israel was going to be removed by God, and God was going to take that anointing and place it on another, David. So Samuel was sent to the house of David specifically to anoint one of his sons. And we know that story from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel arrived at the house. Jesse, the father, lined up all of his sons. And even Samuel thought, well, you know, the biggest and the tallest and the strongest, he must be God's anointed. But God said, nope. And he went right down the line and he covered all of his sons and said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? He says, yeah, but he's out tending, not even worth taking a look at. But Samuel said, well, you better get him. And he sent for David, and David came in from, you know, watching over his family's sheepfold. And as he came to the house, you know, the Spirit of God said to Samuel, this is God's anointed. And he anointed David as king. Now, what's interesting is that David did not step into that role immediately. It would be some time before he would actually step into the role and lead Israel as a nation as their king. That was God's choice. That was God's timing. That's when it happened. And then, of course, from that day forward, everything changed in the life of David. So he was anointed, set apart, empowered, called, sealed, if you will, by God for that purpose.
Yeah. And there was a recognition at that point that the hand of God was upon him. Like, it was demonstrated that God's hand is upon you. And with that hand goes the blessing that comes with him having his hand upon us. And of course, we see that being, you know, in many cases in the Old Testament with Moses and Joshua and the judges and different ones. But we also see Saul, who had the anointing and then didn't have the anointing.
Yeah,
So it, what's the story? What's give us the backstory on that one?
Well, I mean, in the Old Testament, it's important for us to understand that individuals could be, you know, given the Holy Spirit by God as they would undertake specific tasks and fulfill specific roles as they were raised up and called by God to do. But we also understand that, you know, the Spirit of God could be taken from them. Case in point, yes. Samson, yes. The ultimate he-man with a real she woman weakness, right?
That's,
I mean,
right.
The anointing of God came upon him. And then because he kept yielding to the desires of his flesh, when he got that infamous haircut at the hand of Delilah, you know, he rose up thinking that he was going to shake off the Philistines and defeat them as he had so often done. But listen to what the scripture says. He did not know that the Spirit had departed from him.
Wow.
So the Spirit in the Old Testament could come for your anointed purposes, and then it could be taken. That's not the case with the New Testament believer. As you shared earlier, once you're saved as a born-again Christian in the church age, you're saved and sealed forever, and nothing
beautiful.
Can break that seal.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you, after witnessing what happened with Saul in 1 Samuel 16, as you mentioned, it's no wonder that David, in Psalm 51:11, as he's going through his own troubles, is saying, you know, don't take your presence from me. Like he's begging God, don't let your presence be taken with me from me. He recognized that the way that he walked could have a direct correlation with whether the hand of God was on him or not. And I wonder, like today, you know, we so often hear the term, what an anointed message, as you said, what an anointed service, what an anointed preacher. And, you know, there's a difference between somebody who's gifted, you know, a professional preacher, so to speak. They have, and we've heard them, you know, we've heard people who are circuit preachers, or I remember hearing a missionary preacher in Indonesia that had this message, and it was, you know, for the person who was looking to be taught, you could receive from the Spirit, but you could also tell that it was a very prefabricated, you know, file number 14 message that had been preached 35 times in the last year as he's traveled on the circuit. And, you know, you say, okay, God can use that message in a way that's anointed. But I wonder, is the person who's giving the message, and it's not me to judge, it's just a curious observation, is the person really given over to God? Is there a manifestation of the Spirit of God in their lives? What do they do to bring forth a message that's anointed? Is that the person that's anointed? Is it the way that they walk in truth? Is it their life before God? Are they transparent? Do they let God deal with them? All things to consider in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when I think of an individual that comes to my mind, Dr. Billy Graham.
Mm.
I mean, I can't recall a message that I heard him preach, whether it was live in person that I happened to have the privilege of being there for one of his crusades or one of his meetings, or television,
yes,
or even on radio. I always sensed the anointing with his message, you know, and that just simply meant that God, the Spirit, had anointed him to proclaim that message of the gospel so that people might come to Christ and experience the gift of salvation.
Mm.
I mean, it was powerful.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the fact that you knew from hearing his message that this is a man who walked with God, right? Like, there's no question in. And when we have conversations so many times in our own lives in a practical way, we speak to somebody and it's a nice conversation, but we feel like there's something that was, I don't know, just a loss of time or, you know, not. And then other times we just share a few words with somebody and we feel like we're amazingly built up and edified by a thought. And you can just sense sometimes when people are walking with God. It's such a privilege that we have here on our campus. We're working with people who have a job and it's their vocation, but what are they occupied with? They're occupied with Christ, even though they're in the midst of their vocation. And I just got done doing a meeting with the seniors, the leadership class, with Scott Dubé. And Scott Dubé is one of the unsung heroes of our campus. You know, he probably, just the fact that I mentioned his name publicly right now would make him
cringe.
He would cringe. But if you've ever seen Scott Dubé, and we talked to the seniors about this, he is a guy who is the epitome of servant leadership. He serves by love. He never looks to have his name recognized. He's the guy, first one here, last one gone when he needs to be. even sometimes when he doesn't. When the snowstorm is raging, he's here at 2 a.m. plowing, and then he's here to tell me that it's all ready to open up for school. And you know, those are things that are amazing. But also when you speak to him, you sense the presence of God in his life, that he is a servant, above all, and it bleeds over into his everyday life. And I'm just wondering in a practical way, if somebody's listening to us today and saying, you know, yes, I know, I would like to have an anointing on my life. You know, well, we do have an anointing on our lives, but how do we walk in truth? How do we walk in that anointing?
Yeah, well, I think it begins with asking. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, oftentimes we have not because we ask not. We need to ask God to give us that anointing for the manifestation of the Spirit upon our lives. And again, it may be something that you feel, but it may not be. I love what Pastor Stephens used to say, that you can have the filling without the feeling.
Wow.
You can be filled with the Spirit. You might not have any, you know, sensational feelings associated with that, but your ministry, your words, your life, your activity can all be anointed by God because you are operating in the Holy Spirit.
Wow, what a great point. So many people live for the feeling.
Yeah, unfortunately, because they associate the Holy Spirit because of the supernatural manifestation aspect of it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, some form of spiritual baptism, or, you know, the second filling, as we so often hear among believers. It could be just some kind of healing manifestation. And God can, through all of those things and more, manifest himself and manifest his Spirit. But if we limit him to that, then we're actually limiting the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah, and also the work of faith that we have, right? Like, God requires that we operate in obedience to his purpose before he sometimes manifests himself to us. In other words, there's something, I remember Pastor Stephen saying, there's something about going that manifests the presence of God. There's something about going that manifests the power of God. You know, and he's speaking about take a step of faith first in what we know God's desire is for our life, and then watch how God provides for us in the way. Not before we go, but in the way. While we're walking, he's manifesting himself to us and giving us the thing that we need for that particular day. And it's interesting to me also, Pastor Love, that sometimes we try to, in our own lives, maybe quantify or qualify what an anointing is and to make things happen to produce it. And, you know, I can recall times when getting up to share the word and just not having it, you know, maybe the, for whatever reason, not spending the time alone before the Lord enough time, or you know, having a thought that I wanted to produce and God had a different idea. And he's faithful to help us in those situations. But I was just thinking about Ephesians 4:30. Really, to walk in the Spirit means to yield ourselves to his control, to follow his lead, and we allow him to exert his influence over us. To walk in the Spirit is the exact opposite of resisting him or grieving him. And I think a lot of times in our own lives, we can resist or grieve him by thinking we have something to offer, when truly he's looking for us to follow his lead.
Yeah, amen. Well, phone lines are open, friends. You can join us. Here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And here in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And we have a call coming in from Montreal, Canada. Hannah, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love. This is Hannah from Greater Grace Church of Montreal. And I just wanted to say that I'm really excited to meet you this weekend at our Canadian conference.
Well, we're excited about coming. There's a good group that will be joining us from Baltimore. We understand there's a large group coming from Brooklyn, New York, Marlborough, Massachusetts, Malta, New York. It sounds like it's going to be a great time together, Hannah.
Yeah, we're super excited in our new building, too. So it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, my understanding is there's going to be a ribbon-cutting ceremony as your new building is baptized, so to speak. So we're hoping, and we are asking God and believing God, that there would be a tremendous anointing upon the entire weekend.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to see you on Friday, and have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate the call.
Does Pastor James know that there's that many Bostonians coming to Montreal?
Probably. If he shows up with his Montreal Canadiens jersey on, that will tell me yet that he knows.
They always make a point when they come down for convention, you know, to march in their Habs uniforms. You know, this is a good time right now while we still have the opportunity, Pastor Love, for some bragging rights. While we're in first place, so
yeah, I know we got to enjoy it while we can.
So go up there.
I hope it lasts.
Yeah, I hope it lasts.
But you know, that is such an amazing ministry up there in Montreal. Mm. Pastor James Dedidis, who has been so faithful, you know, graduating from Bible College,
yes,
and spending some time in the foreign mission field, and then, you know, after getting married, you know, moving to Montreal, where he's from,
yes,
and starting the ministry there, and God has really blessed the work there in the city of Montreal, Canada.
Yeah, and if you have spent any time with Pastor James or Jill and their kids, they just have they are people who walk in the Spirit. You know, they're people who have an infectious joy about them, and it's very exciting that you're going to be up there with them this weekend. It's the weekend coming up.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll leave Friday and we'll stay through until Sunday evening and head back Monday here to Baltimore. But we've been doing, actually, this particular weekend, this conference was scheduled for Columbus Day weekend. They did not have a facility, a building that they could meet in. So we, rather than cancel it, and now that all the restrictions have been removed from traveling to Canada because of the pandemic and the COVID virus, all of that is over. So now we're able to go. And Pastor James says, no, we've got to do it. It's going to be a little colder, but we've got to do it. And I agree. We've been doing it together now for about 15 years and very excited about heading up there in just a couple of days.
Wow, that's awesome. Beautiful. We'll be praying for a great time and a great move of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
So back to our subject of the anointing. You know, it's not, and I think that as the more we talk about it, the more we understand this, it's not as much of a mystery as it sometimes is made out to be. Because, again, there are those, the critics will say, you know, nobody's anointed. Don't talk about an anointing because that's not even biblical. But I beg to differ. I think it is biblical.
Absolutely. Well, we've given some examples of it already. I mean, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the actual anointing and putting the hands on and laying the hands on of the Old Testament, as we said, the David and Samuel and Saul and Joseph and all these people. And you know, there's actually the fruit of the Spirit taking place in the Old Testament in a way that's lining us up and preparing us for the fruit of the New Testament. Right. And to show us that the hand of God can be upon your life. There can be the power of God that's manifest in our lives. We can have a walk that is led by the Spirit of God. And then, you know, the beautiful thing about us today is that we're sealed with that Spirit. His Spirit doesn't leave us. He'll never leave us or forsake us once we have placed our trust in Him. I like that thought because, you know, as we said earlier, there was a real fear that if God, as quickly as God could put his hand on you and anoint your life, he could take his hand off you. And, you know, while today we still need to exercise faith, and that I love that the fruit of a life that is walking in the Spirit is faith. It's faith. It's not accomplishment or self-recognition, but it's faith, you know?
Yeah, I love that because the whole purpose of the anointing is meant to empower the believer to accomplish God's work.
Yes.
Right? This is, if you miss that, in other words, if an anointed person begins to say, hey, it's all about me, that's an abuse of the anointing.
Yes.
That's hijacking the anointing and saying, hey, take a look at me, rather than the anointing being used for the specific purpose of saying, let's turn our attention to Christ.
Yes.
Let's see Jesus.
Yes.
Let's lift him high and lift it up. And as we do, we'll be drawn to him.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of the anointing. If it serves any other purpose, self-motivation, self-gratification, ambition, it's an abuse of the anointing.
And sometimes God allows that to happen. You know, we have seen how many people you know, who have put themselves out there and maybe even started out in obedience to the call of God and built a ministry that was based on faith and based on God promoting it and, you know, got a little bit conceited, got a little bit full of themselves, started to think that they were the important cog in the midst of it. And, you know, we ask this question, what's the greatest ability God needs for us to offer him? And really it's availability. It's being available to his spirit moving in our lives. And when we lose sight of that and we start getting concentration on our own lives and what can we accomplish and the monument that I've made to the ministry, then it can be gone just as quickly as it came. And the thing is that God allows sometimes for us to continue in the flesh for a season just to be an example of what happens when you continue in the flesh for a season and to see how great the fall is that comes with that.
Yeah, that's so true. Let's take our next caller. Joining us live, I believe, right here from the Baltimore area is Leah. Leah, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Barry. I just had to call because I came in ministry like over 30 years ago, and I met with a man and his wife and his son who had anointings on their lives, and it does not necessarily mean that you ever preach a message. The man's name was Denny Quirk and Peggy Quirk and Pastor Barry, who was a young man, very young man then, but his anointing, his life, Danny's life was so anointed. His life was the message. I never heard him preach a word, but his life was the message. He was so anointed, and I am just so grateful for Danny and Peggy and Pastor Barry, because I don't think I'd be in Greater Grace if they had not initiated towards me and if the anointing had not been there. And just thank God.
Wow.
Really.
That's amazing. And my recollection of both of them is exactly the same. Joy, love, peace,
yeah.
A caring spirit, a heart that reached out and embraced others all the time. Yes, their lives were anointed. Now, Pastor Barry, that's a different story. No, I'm kidding. He's obviously like begats like, and he carries that anointing in his ministry, both as a pastor and as the leader of our Christian school.
Amen. I remember once I was sitting next to Danny during a service, and the service was, it was Pastor Stevens, and the message was on being a servant. And I looked at Danny's notebook, and right in the middle of the page, in huge letters, he wrote the word servant. And that's what he was. Every day, that man just served God, served the body, served the least of these. And I mean, just amazing.
Thank you, Leah. When my dad passed away in 1999, I remember, you know, being there as he was passing and seeing the spirit leave his physical body and the nurses saying, you know, let us prepare the body and you can come back in and see him again. And I said, nope, I'm good. I'm done. Because the spirit of God was no longer there. And, I can say truthfully that for every day that I got to spend with my parents, I had no regret because the way they walked before the Lord. And, you know, my dad was a guy who met my mom. She had been recently divorced, had five children, became pregnant with me, the sixth, and my dad had a big decision to make. Should I stay or should I go? And with five children already in the quiver, you know, that's a big, big decision. And, you know, because of integrity and, you know, in his faith then was in a different church, a Catholic church. He didn't know the grace of God, but he had integrity and he decided to stick it out. And he said, Lord, if you'll bless this, then I'll dedicate my life to bringing my children up in the Lord. And I think that was, fulfilled in his life. And you just, here we are years later, and I'm hearing a testimony of somebody who recognized that. And thank you very much, Leah. I appreciate that.
Yes. And thank you, Pastor Barry. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. You can join us, friends. You still have time to get your phones. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and the local number, 410-483-3700. Love to hear your thoughts about the anointing and how you can discern it. And I think that that's another aspect of the anointing, Pastor Barry, is when we can discern it or discern the lack thereof.
Mm.
Both. Yeah. Are equally as important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing about the Spirit of God coming upon somebody's life, so to speak, is that it's for His purpose, right? So what is produced by the Spirit of God in our lives, the presence of God, is that we live in the purpose of God. I love the definition that Pastor Stevens gave about success, and that is finding out what the will of God is and doing it. Right? Because the fruit of that is the work of God. It's the fruit of whatever's manifest from being in the plan of God. And we don't even know what that is sometimes. We just know if that's what God wants, then I agree with it and I'm going to follow in it. So somebody who has an ulterior motive, I think it is. There's a difference between a sweet savor to God and a smell of the flesh to others.
Yeah. How true that is. And I don't think that there's anything wrong for a believer to pray, to ask God and to say, Lord, I want you to anoint my life. I want you to anoint my ministry. I want you to anoint my words, my message, the activity that I do. I mean, you could be a bus driver and you could say, Lord, anoint my ministry as a bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
You could be an auto mechanic. Lord, anoint my ministry as an auto mechanic. I mean, anything that we do, and our objective and goal is to glorify God. Well, none of us want to do that without the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we can ask God, please anoint it, and may it have a ministry and an impact upon people's lives. And I don't think that there's a thing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Because you're just asking God to set you apart, to sanctify you, and that the presence of God. And, of course, you go back to that prayer that David uttered, Psalm 51:11, Lord, take not thine Holy Spirit. That's not a New Testament prayer. We never have to pray that
right.
prayer.
Right.
Because once saved, sealed forever. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The sealing is the work of God, and it is complete, and it is unchanging. It's as unchanging as God Himself is.
Yeah, absolutely. I love just to reiterate what you just said, I love the thought about saying, Lord, set me apart. You know, what better prayer than to say, Lord, would you set me apart for your purpose? Saul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 were ministering unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart Saul and Barnabas for my purpose. They were just ministering to the Lord. They were fasting and praying as God led. They were ministering to people. And then they were recognized by the elders. Their hands were laid on them, and they were sent into the vision. Use me for your purpose. That's a great prayer. You know, a bus driver getting on the bus. The funny story, in my elementary school in Acton, Massachusetts, back in the day, home of the Bruins, Pastor James. We had a guy who was in our hallway, and he was a janitor, and he had a locker that was close to my locker. I remember as a little first, second grader. And this guy was the coolest guy. He had the poster, the guy's surfing, and he was, come to find out later on, he was Kathy Grimwald's older brother. And he had quite an impact on our lives. And use me for your purpose. Can I be a guy who can actually stick out? I'm in my point in telling that story is that he had a mundane job, so to speak. He was, you know, taking care of the janitorial part of the school, but he had a huge impact on the people. And he was always so positive and so edifying. And he made me feel like I could grow up and be somebody who could be an adventure guy or just a man or, you know. And I just think there's nothing wrong with us asking God to have His presence on our lives, that we would be used in a way that's fulfilling the plan of God in our lives, that we could have an impact on people based on the ability of God to, or the availability to God to have something growing in us.
I know from the accounts that I've heard, of course I wasn't present, but when Pastor Stephen sensed that the hand of God was upon his life and that he was going to be used by God to impact a generation, maybe even several generations, he asked God for an anointing. Mm. And he said that God, you know, spoke to his heart and promised him that he would have an anointing. Now, some people misunderstand that. And they misunderstand it to think that Pastor Stevens was saying, I'm the anointed one, which, as we discussed a little earlier, that's not what we're talking about. Or that, you know, I can't do anything wrong, you know, and that I'm sinless. He never said any of that.
Yes.
I mean, if you listen to his messages in the totality of his ministry, you will hear him repeatedly say he was a sinner saved by grace, a failure that God used to glorify his name. But his ministry was anointed because I know that because when I first came in contact with it, that is the message I came in contact with. Wow. I sensed the power of the anointing.
Yes.
There was something that liberated my soul. There was something that drew me to Christ. There was something that created a hunger and a thirst for the Bible and for righteousness itself. All of that happened and more. And I believe it was because there was an anointing on the ministry.
Absolutely. And somebody whose life is given to God, and anybody who was ever around the messages, we got to hear the messages that Pastor Stevens preached, and just like the messages that are preached today, these are not just haphazard messages. I remember Pastor Stevens getting up into the pulpit and saying, you know, I was all set to preach this message, but the Holy Spirit is pricking my heart to speak on something different, and then going on to preach a message that sounded way more prepared than anything I've ever been able to prepare in my life, and going, how is it possible that he could spend 8 or 10 hours prepping for a message and then have another message on the spur of the moment? And we know that spontaneity came from, number one, a wellspring of preparation, but number two, a man who's walking in the Spirit, obedient to the Spirit, and who's letting the Spirit bring back things which he's committed to his memory in John 14:26, and that there is a life that comes from that being given to the work of God. And that's so present, and there's nothing wrong with us saying today that's an anointed message. And it came, the Spirit of God is indwelling a person who's saved, but the walk with God and being filled with the Spirit daily in their activity is another whole thing.
Amen. Well, I'm thinking of a verse in particular, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, and it reads this way, "It shall come to pass in that day," and God speaking to his people, "that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing."
Mm.
And I think that that's a pretty good explanation and definition for the anointing. What does it do? It liberates you.
Yes.
It removes the burdens from your life.
Yes.
It gives you the capacity to be able to walk freely by faith in the presence of God, without fear, without condemnation, without being dominated by guilt or shame. And when the anointing is present in a fellowship, in your local assembly, in the message that you hear from the pulpit, whatever your pulpit is, you know, the yoke is destroyed. It's removed. Mm. And freedom is the result. Not freedom to sin, but freedom to keep you from sinning and to live a life that's set apart unto God.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's really true. The yoke of bondage is broken by the presence of God. Amazing. Amazing.
Well, thanks, Pastor Barry, for being with us in the studio today. We hopefully have shed some more light upon the subject of the anointing. And our next broadcast coming up tomorrow here on the Grace Hour, we're going to talk about the New Testament anointing and what that means for believers. And Pastor Moon, we hope that's going to answer the comment or the question that you may have as we get into 1 John chapter 2 and what the anointing means in the life of the believer, how it impacts us, the difference that it makes. So we hope that you'll tune into tomorrow's broadcast. We do want to remind you once again, friends, about our service tonight at 7 p.m. right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. and you can join us for our service tonight. Come on out, be our guests. God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.